Okay. So we're going to begin tonight's shiur on Daf Vav Amud Aleph, three lines down, where there's the Tana Rabbanan after the two dots. And we're continuing the discussion of the sensitivity to language. And obviously, you need to take it into account that when we get married, so we use, obviously, the formulation of Hariat Mikudeshesli. That's the conclusion of, you know, that's the conclusion of which language is considered to be the one that's used. Presumably it took a while to get to that conclusion. And what the Gemara is like it's like a think tank. It's the house of study where they were testing out many different types of languages. And so we're going to hear a number of languages which don't sound familiar, and whether or not those languages of trying to affect the Kiddushin are applicable. So the Gemara begins, Tana Rabbanan, the rabbis taught us in a brisa, Hare at ishti. If you say to a woman, you are hereby my wife. Hare at arusasi. You are hereby my betrothed. Hare at kinuya li. You are hereby an acquisition to me. Any of these three formulations, mikudeshes. That works. That's good. If you say, obviously, this saying of it will be accompanied by giving her something of value. So if you give her something of value, say one of these three formulations, it's good. Hare at sheli. If you say the phrase, you are mine, Hare at birushusi, you are hereby in my domain, Hare at zakukali, you are hereby bound to me, mikudeshes. All these three formulations are also good. To which the Gemara asks a natural question, why would the Brisa present in two different sections? Why not just say, well, give us all six? And tell us it's good. Why tell us three are good and three are good? That's the Gemara's question. V'lisninhu kulu kechada. Why don't you go ahead and teach all of them, all six of these languages, in one flow? And this, you know, sometimes you have questions in the Gemara that are like, you know, iron questions that really, you know, grab your mind and you need to think of the answer. The Gemara says it's a pretty simple answer, but there's some level of it being profound. Tana, this, whoever taught this, the Tana who taught this Brisa, Tlas Tlas Shaminu Vigarsenu. He heard it from his Rebbe in the formulation of three and three. That's the way he heard it, so that's the way he taught it. And, you know, perhaps what's hidden behind that is the idea that the way we don't just have a Mesorah, we don't just have a tradition of what the learning is, we have a tradition of how we should be learning. That the way that your Rebbe teaches you, that's the way that you should teach the next generation. And so, for whatever, the Tana who taught this Brisa didn't necessarily understand, but his Rebbe taught it to him in two different sections. Three languages are good, this three languages are good, that's how he heard it, that's how he said it. So here is an example, and if we you know, had like a blackboard, a whiteboard, and we were keeping stats, we would say these six languages are good. Now the Gemara, after hearing these six languages that are good, the Gemara is going to raise a whole number of languages and ask about their validity. Now, each language, in order for it to even have a chance, it has to do something. It has to be something to do with marriage or something to do with the relationship between a man and a woman. You can't just say, you're here by my chair. That you're here by my table, you're here by my box of tissues. That has absolutely no connection. We're going to see a number of phrases that perhaps at first blush don't seem to have a connection. Each one of these phrases has a connection to marriage. And the question is the connection strong enough that independent, each of these languages independent of anything else could be seen as something of marriage? Because obviously if I went over to a woman and I said to her, here's your debt that I owe you. So hakol modem, we're all going to agree, that's not a language of marriage. That's me paying back my debt. So let's see. So the Gemara, so we saw a brisa which came from Tanaim, and now we're hearing a question that must have been raised in the base medrash of the Amoraim as to the validity of these following list of languages. Well, they're like a laundry list. Ibailuhu, they raise the following question. Miuchedes li mahu. What happens if you say to a woman, you're miuchedes li? Miuchedes is a language of being either unique or exclusive with me. And the Mefarshim seem to explain, It's based on the fact that the Pasuk says, Rashi quotes this, V'hayu levasar echad, that in Bereshis, Parshas Bereshis, it says that when man was created, V'hayu levasar echad, they should be one flesh. So a language of saying, miuchedesli is enough to say, is that enough to say, to affect the marriage? So that's number one. On this, again, this is the list of what the Amoraim are asking. So now we have mu'edesli, mahu. What about if you say mu'edesli? Mu'edes, the simple translation is the word designated. You are hereby designated to me. So what does designation have to do with marriage? So there are different, according to the Torah, there are different ways to get into marriage. There's the normal way to get into marriage where you have a regular guy meets a regular girl, and they court, they date, and then they get married, probably like most of us did. I'm not going to call it a minority. There's an interesting way to enter marriage, where if you were in an economic situation where you were never going to be able to afford a dowry, you were never going to be able to perhaps marry off your daughter into a proper economically standing family. You wanted your daughter to marry wealthier than you. How could you ever have a chance at that? So there's a concept called Amma Ivriya. And Amma Ivriya is a young Jewish girl can be sold into slavery by her father. Sold into slavery to a Jewish family, and she's a Jewish maidservant. But that Jewish maidservant, there's an expiration date on her being an Amma Ivriya. It's only till she becomes a Gedola, only till she becomes 12. There's no such thing as an adult woman, an adult Jewish woman that can be a slave. And when she turns 12, there's a mitzvah in the Torah called Yud, which the translation would be designate, where either the master of the household, if it was appropriate, or maybe the son of the household where she was a slave, would marry her and kind of end her period of slavery, and now she becomes part of the family. And all of a sudden you had this girl who had no economic standing, and now all of a sudden she's in that kind of family. It wasn't standard operating procedure, but it does exist on the books. So the Gemara here in their second question is saying, what happens if you say miuedesli? What's the deal? Third question, which the third, fourth, and fifth question are, actually the third and the fourth question go together. Ezrasi mahu, negdasi mahu. What if you say you are here by my helper, you are here by kind of against me? What's the status in those two lashonos? So that's patterning that when woman was created, Hashem saw that Adam was alone. He said, "It's not good for you to be alone. I'm going to make you an ezer kenegdo. I'm going to make you." It's kind of like the first oxymoron in the Torah. Ezer kenegdo. I'm going to make you a helper that's against you. The famous Rashi al Torah, where Rashi says that if you're zocha, if you have good merits, so your wife will help you. And if you're not so zocha, if you don't have good merits, you're not so deserving, so your wife is basically going to be, a horrible marriage can be a terrible thing. And so it'll be against you. There are other mafarshim that explain that the idea of a spouse is not just to be a yes person. A spouse can be someone who you can bounce an idea off of, and sometimes they'll be your helper. Sometimes they'll be against you. They'll give you a different perspective. You can learn. You can learn from your spouse. You can learn from your spouse that it's not it can be multiple levels to the relationship. So let's say you're patterning after those languages where you're saying Ezrasi, you're saying Negdasi. What's the status with those? Mahu. Then it goes on to talk about languages that relate to the creation, when Chava was actually created. Where if you say Atsurasi Mahu, Atsurasi is my gathered one. Tsalasi Mahu. The Tsalasi Atsela is like a side or the rib. Sigurasi Mahu, my closed one. Because after the rib was taken from Adam, he was closed. His body had to be closed up. Tachtosi Mahu. What about if you say a language of the one who is kind of my replacement under me, in the sense that these are patterned after the languages, because the pasuk says Vayiven Esatzela Vayizgar Basar Tachtena, and Hashem closed up the closed up the flesh in place of her. So what about those languages? Last two, tifu sasi mahu, lukuchasi mahu. What about if you say my seized one and the one that I took? Mahu, what's the status of this? So we see this, we have this laundry, kind of a laundry list of languages. And I don't know if it's fortunately or unfortunately, this is just the fact of the matter, the Gemara doesn't resolve all of them. What the Gemara does do, it gives a formulation that appears on numerous pages in the Talmud, where it says, Pashat Miachada. Pashat Miachada means, I can at least explain one of them. I might not be able to give you a clear-cut answer on the whole laundry list, but at least one of them, I can give you a direct answer. We can solve at least one of them. Which one is that? It's going to be the language of likuchasi, my taking. Why is that a good language? Even if you're not looking ahead, do you remember anything about the idea of taking? Why that might be a good language to say marriage?
It's in the pasuk
yikachi. Oh, because the pasuk, the very first pasuk that we learned together, which is the biblical directive for marriage, is ki yikach ish isha. If a man takes a woman, so therefore, if the Torah used the language of kicha, of taking for marriage, you probably can think of no better language. So the Gemara responds, the Tanya, we learned in a brisa. Ha'omer lukuchasi, the one who says lukuchasi, harezu mekudashas, that's good. Mishum shenamar, because the pasuk says, ki yikach ish isha. Because the pasuk says, that when a man takes a woman, and that's the pasuk for marriage. So we had this whole laundry list of languages to try to affect marriage. We left one, we resolved one. All the other ones fall into the realm of what we call suffix. What we call, we just don't know. The Tosos Rihazakin, which is on the side of the page, one of the Balei Tosos. So he defines this. He says the idach, it's left with a question, and it's a safek kiddushin. It's a doubt. So that if the man would go ahead and give the woman something of value and say one of these questionable languages, so the result would be that there's a safek whether they're married. Safek whether they're married. We had discussed this in the past. That two routes to take. If they'd like to stay together, so what they would have to do is just do another act of kiddushin, which is not such a big deal. If they want to go their separate ways, she's going to need a divorce document from him to be freed, at which point she can marry anyone she wants except the Kohen. So in case you weren't tired of hearing languages, the Gemara brings up one more, which this one has a little bit of meat to it, and we're going to discuss it for a little bit of time. So we're continuing. Ibailhu charufasi mahu. What happens if you say a language of charufa? Charufa also means designate. Mahu. What's the status if you say that language? Charufasi. So tashma, come here, a proof. The Tanya we learned in a brisa. Ha'omer charufasi mikudeshes. A person who says to a woman, Hareat charufasi, you are hereby my charufa, you are hereby my designated one, mikudeshes, it's a good marriage. Why? Says this brisa, Shekein biYehuda korin la'arusa charufa. In the land of Yehuda, which is either the tribe of Yehuda or the malchitude of the southern kingdom, in the region around Yerushalayim, the southern region of Israel, korin la'arusa charufa, it was normal in the street to call your betrothed charufa. You could say, you know, you meet someone in the street. You say, "This is my bride. This is my engaged. This is my." We would use the word my fiance. There, after you did the first stage of marriage in Yehuda, you would walk around and say, "This is my charufa." That was vernacular in the land of Yehuda. So ask the Gemara the following question now: Be Yehuda havya ruba da alma, and is the land of Yehuda the majority of the world? Because in the land of Yehuda, they call someone who is betrothed, they call that woman the charufa. So now that I'm not in the land of Yehuda, I'm sitting here in New Rochelle, I can use the language of charufa? Because what is this region of Yehuda? This region of Yehuda is the whole world? Because they use a specific word, because I don't understand that language. Why should that be good? Why should it be good outside the land of Yehuda? That's the Gemara's question. To which the Gemara answers, Hachi Kamar. Hachi Kamar is a clarification. This is what we mean to say. Ha'omer harufasi mekudashas. Anyone who says the language of harufa, harufasi, you are hereby my designated one, mekudashas, you have a good kiddushin. It's an effective stage one of marriage. Why? Shenemar, because a pasuk says, v'hi shifcha necharefes la'ish. And she is a maidservant who is designated to a man. We'll discuss this pasuk in depth in a couple of minutes. The ode, and furthermore, not only does it say it in a pasuk, b'Yehuda karin larusa harufa. Also, in the land of Yehuda, they call a woman who is betrothed, they call her with the title harufa. So now you can understand why this is going to be a good, at this point, at this stage of the Gemara, you'd understand why this is a good language everywhere. Why is it a good language everywhere? Because there's a pasuk to back it up. A pasuk to back it up, so that's good. But the Gemara pauses to reflect and says, Yehuda v'od l'kra? You proved it from a pasuk, and then you told me, and also in the land of Yehuda, it's a good language. If it's a pasuk, that's the best proof possible. You don't need any backup proof to that. You don't need any secondary proof. The greatest proof the Gemara can ever bring to something is an open pasuk that shows the idea. Here, you quoted a pasuk. The Gemara is assuming that it's talking about marriage, something that we're going to have to digest. And so why does it say, and also in Yehuda? So that means the Gemara now says we got to go back to the drawing board. And we're going to be even more limiting. Elahachi kamar. Ha'omer harufa b'Yehuda mikudeshas. A person who says the term harufa, he says to a woman, you are hereby my harufa in the land of Yehuda, mikudeshas. Will that'll be a good, effective marriage. Shekein b'Yehuda koren la'arusa harufa, period. Because in the land of Yehuda, they refer to an arusa as a harufa. So according to the conclusion of the Gemara, only in the land of Yehuda can you use this language. And it's not based off a pasuk. According to the conclusion of the Gemara, it doesn't seem to be based off a pasuk why you can use this language. It's based off the vernacular, the common speech in the land of Yehuda. But if you're anywhere else in the world, you could even be in another part of Israel, you're not in the region known as Yehuda, you're in the north, doesn't work. Because it's the Gemara seems to be coming to the conclusion that it's not a language of marriage. What is this term harufa? So we have to go. We got to go give a little bit of background. So take a look at the source sheet that we have. Pasuk that maybe some are more familiar with than others. Pasuk.
Yeah. This is going basically by saying what's common practice in Yehuda. So if this was common practice to use that language in your shell, then
presumably it would be fine.
So today, if the language is she's my fiance. That would be fine as well. Then
now, again, meaning that. when we use the term fiance, we're talking about engagement.
Fine. So, but if this is my wife, then
right.
You could use that.
You could say right. You would be able to say under the chuppah in front of everyone, you are hereby going to be my wife with this ring, according to the laws of Moses in Israel. Again, usually there's a rabbi there who's going to be guiding you to say the right words. But I think everyone would say you're fully married with that because wife. In America, wife is wife. Now, if you go into China, and in front of a Chinese rabbi and Chinese witnesses, and you use the word wife, they might not know what that word means. So you might not be married because no one knows what's going on. So this term harufa, it comes from a phrase called a shifcha harufa. What goes on? So we discussed a couple of minutes ago. We discussed a maidservant who is a Jewish maidservant. A Jewish woman slave is a child sold into slavery only until the age of 12. There's something called an Eved Ivri. An Eved Ivri is a Jewish male slave who's sold even in adulthood. And there's a term, 6 years, you're a slave, you go free. If you want to stay, you can stay. By Yovel, you definitely go free. Then there are non-Jewish slaves. Non-Jewish slaves can be a man, that's called an Eved Kanani, can be a woman, that's called a Shivcha Kananis. It doesn't have to be that they came from the tribe of Canaan, that's what we call them. They will stay slaves forever in the halachic system. They receive a certain level of Kedushas Yisrael when they become a slave. They're chayv in mitzvahs to a certain degree. But the pasuk says, La'olam behem ta'avodu, you should always keep them as slaves. The same way that when you pass away, you know, what's the fancy watch that says you don't really own it, you just pass it to the next generation, right? So you don't really own, there you go, right? You don't really own, you do own your slave, but the same way you leave your watch,
Daddy knows.
The same way you leave your watch to your son when you pass away, so too, your car, your house, so too you leave your slaves. Your sons take them over. They're part of the Yerusha. They're part of the inheritance. A shifra kenanis is a non-Jewish woman who is a slave. Then sometimes what a slave owner wants to do, again, it's pretty foreign for us, but you don't have to go back that much in United States history. You want more slaves. How do you get more slaves? So you have to mate your slaves. So the Torah allows, if I have an Eved Ivri, I am allowed to mate an Eved Ivri with a non-Jewish slave. Right? It's the only, I guess technically, it's the only intermarriage that's allowed. So I can take my Eved Ivri, I can have him mate with a Shifcha Kenanis. Those children I will own. They're not going to be Jewish. And I'll have more slaves. I have a big land. I need a lot of slaves. When she is designated to this man, to this Eved Ivri, there's a connection between them. There's some type of bond. It is not on the level of a husband and a wife. So the Torah in Parshas Kedoshim, source one on the sheet, what happens if someone else besides this Eved Ivri has a physical relationship, is intimate with this woman? Is it like adultery? What is it? So the Torah describes this in Parshas Kedoshim. The ish and a man, ki yishkav es isha shifcha zera, he's intimate with a woman, not just any woman. Vehi shifcha necharefes la'ish, and she is a slave. She's a maidservant who has already been designated for a man. That man is a fellow slave, but a slave who's an Eved Ivri. Vehavdei lo niftasa, she's not totally redeemed. Ochufsha lo nitan la, she hasn't yet been given her freedom. Bikores tiyeh, there's going to be a trial. There's going to be an investigation. Lo yumsu ki lo chufasha. They shouldn't be put to death because she's not a free woman. So there's not going to be the normal death penalty that comes along with adultery. That's not going to be there. Pasachaf Aleph. Vehevi es ashamo lashem el pesach ol moed ayel el asham. The Jewish man who had the affair with her will have to bring a carbon asham, which is also different than in an instance where if a person committed adultery by accident, where he just, let's say he didn't know her status, he would bring a carbon chatas, not a carbon asham. That's another way this is different. Pasachav beis, v'chiper alav ha-kohen be'ayla asham, lefnei Hashem, al-chataso, the man who committed this crime of sleeping with the maidservant will receive atonement through the kohen by bringing this carbon. Asher chata, that he sinned, v'nistach lo mechataso asher chata, he'll be forgiven. So who is this shifcha? Who is this? What is this type of maidservant? So there's actually a Mishnah that asks this question in source number two. The Mishnah is trying to get to the nitty gritties of who this is, and this is all based on, this is the reason why our Gemara is even talking about this. Source number two, the Mishnah in Krisus asks, Ezu shifcha. What kind of shifcha is this? So the Mishnah says, Kol shechetzia shifcha vechetzia baschorin. It's a wacky case of a slave woman. She's half free and half slave. How so? Well, first it says shenemar, because the pasuk says v'hafte lo niftasa. It's this like quasi language. She's redeemed. She's redeemed, but she's not redeemed. Divrei Rabbi Akiva. That's the words of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva holds she's half a slave. How do you get half a slave? That if Reuven and Shimon are partners in a slave, where, right, the slave doesn't, let's say the slave doesn't do any work on Shabbos, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, the slave works for Reuven, Thursday, whatever day is. Yeah, whatever days I said. The other 3 days, she goes to the other one. Long day. So, and then one of them decides, you know what? She's worked so hard for me. I'm going to free her from being a slave. I'll be a nice guy. I question whether it's mutter or not to do it. But let's say he does it. He does it. He frees her. So now she has 3 days where she gets the. She's free. She can do her own work. Her halachic status. She is a walking contradiction. Half of her is a slave, and when a non-Jewish slave, but half of her is really technically a Jew, because when an Eved Kenani leaves, goes to freedom, he actually becomes a full Jew. When a Shivka Kenanis goes to freedom, she becomes a full Jewess.
She doesn't want to.
It's part of the process. She's already part of the way there, while she's a shifcha. So what is she? So Rabbi Akiva understands this case. This is the case of where this whole parsha, the whole idea of the adultery with her comes into play. It's because she's half free. If she wasn't half free, it seems Rabbi Akiva would probably say, you wouldn't come to this. You wouldn't look at her with such status. That's at least the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yishmael is the opinion that argues with him in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yishmael Omer Zuhi Shifcha Vadais. She's a full-fledged Shifcha. And even though she's a full-fledged Shifcha, she still is, this whole Parsha applies. So now we come back to our Gemara. And the question is, if you're going to understand the shifcha, that she's half and half. So when she's half free, and she is possible, at least part of her is possible to have a good Jewish marriage. So the word charufa, it has an ability to have some level of effect halachically in terms of marriage, because she's half free. So if you're thinking that she's half free, let's even see this. Let's read a Rashi together. I think it'll be clearer when we read the Rashi. Take a look at Rashi. Divar Masel Shekein B'Yehuda. Shekein B'Yehuda. Over here. Shekein B'Yehuda. Rashi says, Avol Mikra Leka Lamelaf. There's no pasuk for us to learn from. Dehahu, the phrase charufa, this phrase, Yichud Ba'alma, it's only designation. Sharei B'Shifcha Kenaynes HaKosav Medaber, because when the pasuk uses the word charufa, it's talking about the non-Jewish maidservant. She'ein Kiddushin Tofsin Ba. There's no ability to have real kiddushin with a shifcha keninus. That's what we're saying in the conclusion of the Gemara. Now Rashi explains, what were we thinking? Why were we thinking that this is a possible language that could work anywhere? Umeikara originally havasalka daitach. The Gemara thought keman da amar begitin, like the opinion in Gittin. The Gemara in Gittin echoes this mission that we saw in Krisos. Bechetz yeshivcha, bechetz yebaschor, in hakasav medaber. There was a point in the debate in the Gemara where the Gemara thinks that we follow Rabbi Akiva, and if we follow Rabbi Akiva, the parsha in Kedoshim was talking about a woman who was half free and half not free. The fact that it was talking about a woman who's half free, the shaychi ba tzad kiddushin. There's at least an opening to talk about kiddushin. What Rashi seems to be saying is that in the conclusion of our Gemara, we must be following the opinion of Rabbi Yishmael. That what was the pasuk talking about when it mentioned the shifcha? It's talking about a full shifcha. Let's say one owner who's never freed her. And therefore there's no ability for kiddushin, for sanctity of marriage to come into play at all. And therefore what does the parsha mean? The parsha there must mean designation, reserved, not in the sense of marriage. When in the world of having slaves, you would match them up, and they're designated for each other. But there's not a serious halachic bond like Kiddushin. So that's the way that Rashi seems to learn. Rashi seems to be explaining our Gemara, that our Gemara must be following that conclusion. What's interesting is that the Rambam says that a language of Charufa works, and he seems to say that it works everywhere. Take a look at source number 3, which is the Rambam in Hilchos Ishus, in his Laws of Marriage. With the Rambam, it's going to be a list. Hadvarim shemu ha'ish, these are the things a man says. Kishakidesh tzarech sheye inyanam shehu kona isha, lo she inyanam shehikne atzmo la. He has to be acquiring her, not that he's allowing himself to go to her. Ketzad, how does this actually play out? Harisha amar lo, kasav b'shtar, either he says it or he writes in a document, shenasnu lo, that he gives to her, hareini ba'aleich, I'm here by your husband, hareini aruseich, I'm here by your betrothal, hareini isheich, I'm here by your husband, chol chayotzuza, ein kan kedushin klal, that doesn't affect the marriage. We had discussed those things. Meaning, it can't be that he is bringing himself to her, he is not becoming her husband, it has to be the other way around. Amar lo, kasav la, harei at ishti, you're my wife, harei at arusasi, you're my betrothal. Hari at Knuli, you're my acquisition. Hari at Shali, Hari at Pirshusas, you're mine. Hari at Pirshusa, you're my domain. Hari at Zukukuli, you are bound to me. These were the first 6 languages we saw tonight. Hari at Lukukhasi, you are my taking. That was the one from the laundry list that we saw, that we solved. And then he includes Hari at Charufasi, you are my designated one, using the language of Charufa. Anything like this, Hariz Mukudashas, it's a good language, even if what? Even if you're not in Yehuda. Even if you're not in Yehuda. The Rambam puts Charufa in the list of good languages. Why does he do that? So if you're explained like Rashi, you're scratching your head. Because Rashi seems to be explaining our Gemara here, we must be following the conclusion of the debate amongst those Amoraim and Gittin, based on what we saw in Krisus, that we're following the opinion of Rabbi Yishmael. That when you open the Torah and look at the case of Shifcha Charufa, you're looking at a case of someone who was a full-fledged maidservant, a Kanani maidservant, and therefore Kiddushin has nothing to do with her. So her name, that title Charufa, that can't be a language of marriage, because there in the Torah it had nothing to do with anything that could have been close to marriage. So how do you explain the Rambam? The Rambam is what we call the Shitaso. The Rambam follows his own opinion, because the Rambam follows the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. Take a look at source number 4. The Rambam elsewhere in Hilchos Isurei Bia defines Shifcha Charufa Hamura B'Torah. When the Torah mentions the parsha of Shifcha Charufa, which is the psukim that we saw in Perek Yotes of Sefer Vayikra Parshas Kedoshim, the Rambam defines that. He shechetzya shifcha v'chetzya baschorin. It's talking like Rabbi Akiva said. It's a woman who's 50-50. She's half free and half not free. Umikudeshes levit ivri, and she's already been kind of sanctified by an evid ivri. Shenemar lo yumtzu, ki lo chufasha. At this point, she doesn't get put to death because she's not totally free. Ha, that implies im neshachara, if she was fully free, kula chayavin alei amisas beizdin, you would get the death penalty. Sherinasis eshes ish gemura, she would become his full wife. So what do we see from the Rambam? We see from the Rambam, the Rambam reads the psukim following Rabbi Akiva, that Charufa is someone who is half able to get married and half not able to get married. And therefore, when I use that language, I'm tapping into such a case. I'm tapping into a world where Kiddushin can come into play. And so that's why the Rambam puts the list of Charufa, he puts Charufa into the good language category. Now there's another insight that we could point out. If you go back to where it said Ibailahu Charufasi Mahu in the Gemara. Right, where's that?
Right here.
Line 13.
Do you have it?
So when the Gemara asks this question, Ibailahu, the Gemara said, Ibailahu charifasi mahu, what's the status? Tashma, come near proof. Tanya, homer charifasi mekudash, as it works. Shekain biyuhuda korin larusa charufa. That in the land of Yehuda, they call an arusa, they call someone who, a man calls his betrothed woman, charufa. Which the Gemara asked the question, Yehuda have Yeruba the Alma? And is Yehuda the whole world? There's a possible implication to this question. The Gemara seems to be saying, is Yehuda the whole world? Take that one step further. Let's say Yehuda was the whole world. Let's say in Rov of the world, they use this language. Does that change anything? In Rov of the world, they use this language, but you're in the one place in the world that doesn't. And you use that language. Is it good or is it not good? That's a good question. The fact that the majority of the world uses this language as Kiddushin, does that go ahead and make the reality that anywhere in the world where you would use it, it's a good language? So the Tosfos Riazakin on the side of the page, he takes the approach that it would not be a good Kiddushin. It would not be a good Kiddushin if you were in the minority, if you were in the place in the world that does not use that language. So he says, he brings up a very good point, which I mentioned before a little bit in the example. You, the groom, might know the language, and maybe even the bride knows the language. But who's to say that the witnesses know the language? So you might end up with a marriage without witnesses, and the Gemara comes to the conclusion later on that a marriage without witnesses is not a marriage. And so even if the majority of the world, meaning the Gemara is saying, the Gemara is asking like a rhetorical question, is Yehuda the majority of the world? But if you take that a step further, even if it was a majority of the world, if you were in the Tosfos Riazakin is of the opinion that if you were in a place that didn't use it, you would not be allowed to use that. The Rashba, one of the other Rishonim, argues. And the Rashba says that if the majority of the world uses the language as a language, then it's Kiddushin no matter where you are. It's Kiddushin no matter where you are, because the same way he brings a proof from that places, the same we can judge places like people. He brings a case in Masechah Shabbos. In Masechah Shabbos, there's an Isser of Hotzah. You're not allowed to carry on Shabbos. Let's say you have a real Rishus Arabim. You're not a real public thoroughfare, a real public street. You're not allowed to carry 4 amos in the street. So most of us carry things in our hands. What happens if you're carrying something on top of your head? So the Gemara comes to the conclusion. You should be at the shir, right? So on Shabbos, you carry something on top of your head. There's one place in the world, there are a few people in the world that do carry things on their head. So is carrying on your head a normal way of carrying on Shabbos? When you violate Shabbos in the normal way, you violate Shabbos daraisa, you could be killed for it, that's karbanos. When you violate Shabbos, kila achar yad, like the back of your hand, doing something in the non-normal way, so then it's only an iser derabanan. Not that we do iser derabanans, but there's going to be no karban, there's going to be no death penalty. So what we say is, the das of the individual is batel etzel kol adam, next to everyone. The masses don't carry things on their head. So you, schnook, you like to carry things on your head, we still view that as kila achar yad. We judge the individual based on the mass. Rashba says it's the same things in terms of places in the world. That if rove places in the world will call this language a good language of Kiddushin, then it's a good language of Kiddushin no matter where you are. And so this rhetorical question of the Gemara has, and the Rashba there quotes this Gemara as showing that this rhetorical question of saying, is Yehuda the rove of the world? So again, the local Gemara here is explaining that Yehuda is not the rove of the world, and that's why the Gemara has to work it out. But if you would take the theoretical that should it be the rove, would it be the rove of the world, that actually, according to the Rashba, that would have an impact on everywhere. That we would follow the rove in terms of location.
This does have some kind of basis and some kind of, I can't say this is my chair. Right? It has to have some basis from the Torah for the notion of it. If that's everyone decided to say, here, I'm not talking.
Yeah.
Okay. If someone said, decided saying marriage is I'm gonna be a chair. You couldn't. Even if everyone in the world said that's how you say someone's married, that wouldn't matter, right? It has to have some basis in some kind of pasuk,
right?
So it's not completely dependent on minhag. It still has to be some kind of, you know,
correct.
Something in the Torah that intimates that kind of, you know, intimates that kind of.
But if you would say this is my chair. Right.
Everyone in the world knew that it meant to get married, it wouldn't matter.
Well, but if you said this is my chair in English,
be
right?
Be my chair.
What?
Yeah,
be my chair.
Right.
That chair would translate into wife, right? If everyone used that universal to say this is my chair, would be the translation from Isha
like
to
chair.
No,
but it wouldn't be in the Torah. There's nothing in the Torah like that that calls a chair a woman.
But no, in the Torah it doesn't say wife. It says the Hebrew word. So I'm saying the chair.
Wife. It means Isha. It still means.
Would then come to mean that this is my wife.
What do you think, Arash? I don't know. I just think that it has to have some.
What does Chalufa mean?
Designated.
Designated. It means designated.
And we have the Pasuk, these Pesukim in Parshas Kedoshim that we saw. So
you're my designated. You're my Chalufa.
Right.
You're my Patik Philippe.
Right now, if you go home and you tell her that it was from a shifcha charufa, that might not be the best way to enter a marriage.
But
okay, we're done for tonight, but we're not done with some of these lashonos. Next week when we meet, we're going to basically talk about something that might actually help these lashonos, either help them, hurt them. We'll see Bez Hashem next week.